Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The Sports Cage Podcast is brought to you by the Canadian Brewhouse. Order your favorite CBH menu items from the comfort of your home with Skip the Dishes. Here's your host, Derek Taylor.
It's 4:04 on a Monday. The Sports Cage brought to you by Westrum Lumber Timbermart, with locations in Assiniboia, Moose Jaw, Rollo, and Weyburn. Derek Taylor, Mitchell Blair with you, Sean Kleinsinger in the booth, and I'm trying to keep my excitement down. Guys, how am I doing so far?
I was going to say, are you subbing in for Jim Nance at the U.S. Open this weekend, or what?
Hello, friends. The CFL is back.
CFL is back! 52 days away! I was able to keep it together for 46 seconds there.
I cannot believe the vertical you got on the cartwheels going up and down Rose Street this afternoon once that announcement became public.
It was crazy. Apologies to the drivers for whom I dove in front of.
Simone Biles has nothing on you.
Nothing at all. Football is back. August 5th kickoff. Board of Governors got together, voted unanimously in favor of a 14-game season with the Grey Cup on December the 12th. Kicking off that week of August 5th right here in Regina, we assume. Just fantastic news all around, and Riders President and CEO Craig Reynolds will join us at 4:15 to talk all about it. I don't know, Mitchell, I knew it was coming. I knew the vote was going to be in favor, and I was pretty sure it was going to be unanimous, however much unanimous means. That said, still deliriously excited that we're getting back to football.
Oh, it's a great day. I'll be honest. If the CFL had said there was no 2021, you can take this XFL stuff that's going on. I don't know if there would have been CFL football in 22, 23 moving forward, because you just can't have 2 years of a pro sports league sit vacant. And when you see, you know, the I'm forget the exact name of the league that the Rattlers are in. They're getting CBL. Back at it. Yep. You know, you and I have talked about it before on this show. I think the CFL has lost its younger fan base that figured out that they could do something last summer without Canadian football.
Yeah.
If that had happened this year, I think a fan base that's already eroding would have eroded again. And I really don't know if we'd have had football, Canadian football, the way we're used to it. I don't know if we'd have had it moving forward, and that would have been a terrible thing for this country. It would have been a terrible thing, obviously, for people of this province, but it's back, and now we just ask, is it August yet?
Is it August yet? And you make a good point about 2 years off could have been an absolute killer. Maybe where nine ownership groups get together and go, hey, guys, we're all going to lose money. But should we play? And the answer is, well, yes, we should. We should eat these losses, whatever they are. And whether they're losses or whether there's, we didn't make as much money as we potentially could have, you can't. You can't. So that's part of why this vote to me was never in any way in doubt, even though we kind of wondered, what are Toronto and Montreal going to do? Apparently unanimous in favor of the CFL season.
Well, you know, in Toronto. You know, because each team's going to lose, what, two home dates out of this?
Correct.
Now, I don't know, and I'm not even going to sit here and bother to estimate what a home game means when it comes to revenue for the nine teams. But those teams that finish first and second in their respective divisions and get an extra home game, their bottom line won't be as bad as what it could have been. So that's sort of a nice carrot if you're every team, maybe except for Ottawa, you know, that finish in the top two in your division.
Yep.
And you're going to get revenue from an added home game, which you would anticipate, although it might be a little chilly, would be well attended. I know today that Craig Reynolds said, masks? Yeah, we're going to do what the province says, but if you want to wear a mask, you're more than free to do so.
Yeah.
I'm thinking for the Western Final, you might have a mask, you might have a scarf, you might have a parka,
yeah,
some winter boots, you name it. But hey, we'll be there.
So help me, the Riders better be selling masks on site, right? They better have a ton of masks at the Rider store at the stadium for sale. Not because you may need them by that time, but I feel like I want one. Here's $20. Just, you got to capitalize.
$20? Well, I guess,
what,
yeah.
I don't know what they go for. My wife gets them from Old Navy, and they have puppies on them, and I wear them, and whatever. That's the way it is. Football is back. The Riders, we hope to get some details. We're going to put Craig Reynolds on the spot at 4:15, the Riders president and CEO. We're going to force him to tell us something about the schedule. The schedule will be released tomorrow for every team, so we'll know the Riders' 14 home dates. How many Fridays? How many Saturdays? How many Sundays? What about the Labor Day Classic Banjo Bowl?
Yeah.
Is that still a thing? And it better be a thing.
Here's what I want to know. And you and I have talked about this, and Suits was on a couple of weeks ago and we talked about it. The season's going to start August 5th, a Thursday night. I want no part of Thursday night football. The first game of 2021, the return. I want no part of that at Mosaic Stadium. None. Zero. Zilch. Nada.
You don't want to be first back?
No, I don't.
Okay.
But Friday night football, I don't care if it's the second half of a doubleheader. I don't care if it's a one-game shot on Friday night. Friday night football, CFL's, or TSN's marquee game of the week. If that game is not at Mosaic Stadium, there's something wrong.
The CFL has enjoyed putting the Riders on Thursdays because, hey, people will watch the Riders, even though it's a terribly inconvenient day for fans coming to the game.
Out east, because we know that the Riders draw ratings.
Yep.
Those home games, those aren't so great.
What do I want? It's got to be Hamilton-Winnipeg. It's got to be a Grey Cup rematch to kick it off on Thursday night.
And I'm down with that.
Presumably that's in Winnipeg because it's almost certainly not going to be in Hamilton. Friday night football, little doubleheader. You know me. I want Toronto and in Regina to take on Saskatchewan. I want the Riders hosting Toronto because of all the Riders that now play for Toronto.
And get them in and out of here as soon as possible.
Exactly. We probably don't get that one just from what we're hearing. But Friday night doubleheader or Saturday night doubleheader, whichever one. Doubleheaders on Friday nights will be interesting because currently, three teams that will host games are all in the same time zone.
And that's why I just sort of wonder, when I look at that, I think Thursday night, obviously, Friday night one game. You could do a game on Sunday because the NFL season hasn't started yet.
Yep.
But I just wonder if you go 2 o'clock, 7 o'clock on Saturday.
Interesting. The TV broadcast would have to cut away for an hour or so in between games.
That's when you maybe do something.
Potentially.
An hour show or something. We're ready to go.
That would be, as a viewer, that would be all right. Because then I get my chance to run out and get food and then come back and see the 7 o'clock game. I don't mind that.
Not a skip the dishes guy where they just bring it into you?
The skip the dishes does not know where Emerald Park is. There's a real problem. There's a real problem with that.
All right, so that's another story for another time.
We're caught. We are caught. What are you most looking forward to from the 2021 CFL season? Give me a player. Give me a moment. Give me the 50-50, whatever it is. The text line, 306-936-6262. Out of town. We'll take phone calls a little later in the show. 1-866-767-0620 for folks out of town toll free. Because we are celebrating. Rider football is back. The CFL and the Board of Governors giving the go-ahead to the August 5th start date. 14 Rider football games plus a couple more in the playoffs as they head toward Hamilton.
Yeah, it's 17 games. No, 16, sorry. Because the Riders will finish first and then.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
16 games.
Could be 7. Hey, might be 18 if they keep, if they add more playoff games. Who knows what's going to happen?
Don't talk about that.
We'll talk about what the commissioner had to say. We'll hear from Craig Reynolds next, the Riders president and CEO on the best of news days, the return of the CFL for the 2021 seasons. Coming up on the Sports Cage.
Afternoon rush. Game one for the Montreal Canadiens goes tonight in Vegas. The Stanley Cup semifinal opener goes at 7 o'clock. Jeff Petrie and Jake Evans skated with the extra players today, meaning they are not expected to play tonight. The Jays are in Boston for a 5-10 start. Jays had 8 homers yesterday as they destroyed the Red Sox. Vladdy Guerrero Jr. leads the majors in all-star votes, not to mention homers, RBI, average, slugging, and total bases. He leads them all, DT.
He's pretty good.
Pretty good.
He's having a pretty good season. We're having a pretty good day because Rider Football is back. And one of the men who helped to bring it back joins us on the line. He's the Riders president and CEO, Craig Reynolds. Craig, I know you and I have never hugged, but this is a day where I feel like hugging everybody. So take this as a hug across the phone line in COVID times for helping this day become reality.
Well, appreciate that, DT. And if hugs were allowed, I'd give you one.
Oh, look at this. This is fantastic.
Oh, this bromance is bringing tears to my eyes.
It's all about we get football back. Craig, I want to go through some of the details of what fans can expect. I'm first wondering if you can tell us what this morning's Board of Governors meeting was like. It was online, I presume, but can you kind of step us through stuff that happened in this meeting?
Yeah, I think from the very get-go, it certainly felt different. I think, everybody realized that it was a very important meeting, a very important decision in front of the CFL, and it felt like that. So, at the end of the day, everybody understood how important it was for us to get back on the field. And you know, obviously the commissioner did a great job explaining all the work that's been done, and there's been a tremendous amount of work done by the league office, by all the teams, and it culminated in a unanimous vote, and it was quite exciting, actually, to be honest with you.
Can you, for us, Craig, can you reenact your yes vote? It was a unanimous vote in favor of the season. Can you reenact it for us? Was it the little raise hand function on Zoom, or did you say it, you know, with your whole chest? How, just reenact it for us if you could.
Well, actually, it was our lead governor, Greg Yule, who's on our board, who got the opportunity to do that. But I think we had just on Friday, we kind of went across the country just as we had our president's group. Obviously, we're meeting on this topic, and I believe my response was hell yeah when asked.
That's what we were looking for. I love it.
Craig, how are you feeling right now? Obviously, everybody knows what's gone down. How are you feeling right now, knowing that Rider Football is coming back? And how emotional will you be when that first home game hits?
Yeah, I think the best way to describe it is excitement. It's a little bit surreal as well, to be honest with you. We've been working so hard at this, so to know it's finally here and we get to play football, in August at Mosaic. I'm just so happy for our fans, first and foremost. I know how much this means to them. They remind me of that whenever I have an opportunity to get out and see folks. They just tell me how much they missed it. They missed Rider football. They missed being at the stadium. They missed their Rider family. So just so happy for them. And I'm so happy for our players, to lose what a year of doing what you love and their ability to showcase in front of our fans and our coaches and just our entire organization. I'm just so happy that we get to do what we get paid to do. And that's put on football games and play football at Mosaic Stadium. So, in terms of how is it going to feel? It's going to be emotional. I was talking with a few of our team members here today at the office. We just talked about, it's going to be right up there in terms of emotional moments. We were talking a little bit about, closing old Mosaic Stadium, and that was a very emotional night, and then opening the new stadium. I was really, really emotional that night just because of the work that went into building that stadium and being involved. And I think that's going to be the same for when we open here at Mosaic, just the amount of work that's gone into it, and just seeing a stadium hopefully full of fans, it's gonna be emotional.
He is the Riders president and CEO, Craig Reynolds, with us on the Western Pizza Hotline. We're told the schedule is out tomorrow. Is there any chance you can drop us a little nugget of what we can expect as far as dates I should prepare to be in my season seats? Anything you can let us in on, Craig?
I wish I could. I will tell you, we certainly open at home, And there certainly will be a lot of Rough Rider football at Mosaic Stadium in August.
Craig?
Oh, okay.
Can you tell me if the Winnipeg Blue Bombers are going to be here on Labor Day Sunday?
You know, I think that one's fair to confirm. Absolutely. The Labor Day Classic is, as the name would suggest, it's a classic. So that's a must-have. So I look forward to welcoming them here.
Well, and from a fan's perspective, that I assume for you that was an important one to keep. Whatever the schedule was going to be different, that rivalry weekend, that rivalry game was important for you?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the schedule is different. You know, I will suggest that. It is front loaded for us. There's some uniqueness to it for sure. But that was one thing that, you know, was really, really important to us and the league and the Bombers, that Labor Day Classic is really, really important. So there's certain things that go into the schedule that you certainly want those rivalry games, and it's just, you know, there's nothing like Labor Day Sunday at Mosaic. So I'm really, really happy that we get to experience that this year.
Craig, training camp will be in Regina. You said that, or somebody said that today. If it wasn't you, I do apologize. But you also talked about restrictive protocols are going to be put on the players at training camp. Can you sort of explain what will happen there? And I'm guessing probably part of those protocols is that fans can't come in and watch practice the way they have in the past.
Yeah, no, so you're right, Mitch. It's going to be in Regina this year, and just logistically that made the most sense, obviously, with the COVID protocols, to be not moving back and forth. We love hosting training camp up in Saskatoon, but that just wasn't in the cards this year. And absolutely, there's a very, very strict return to play protocols that you know, we've been working at the league, and we'll continue to work at as rules get potentially relaxed here towards the summer, but right now it's designed really to prevent any issues, any COVID issues at our training camps, and so it is quite restrictive on our players. There's testing involved, and obviously there's masking and social distancing, all the things you would expect to make sure our players and our coaches are kept safe. And yeah, I would expect from a fan perspective that certainly just from a health guidelines perspective, we may not be able to host fans. And then, you know, just limiting interactions, it's unlikely there'll be fan interactions throughout training camp.
Craig, for people who have season tickets, what can they expect as far as being able to see the games? What can they expect on, I guess, the communication front from the club about their ability to see games?
Yeah, no. So there'll be lots of communication coming here. Certainly, the schedule will come out tomorrow, and we know our fans like to plan their schedules around that schedule. So that's the first step. The next step really is we need to hit the step three threshold, where we get 70% of everybody over 12 having their first dose of the vaccines, because that really limits or eliminates the capacity restrictions, and so that would at minimum allow us to have all our season ticket holders at Mosaic Stadium. So there'll be a fair bit of communication, but we really are pushing towards that step three threshold, and once we hit that, we can confidently say that we'll be able to host all the season ticket holders for every single game in their seats.
Is there the potential for single game ticket purchases? Is that probable? Is that certain to happen at some point? How would you classify single game ticket purchases?
Yeah, we're certainly hopeful. So again, the critical date is and the critical threshold is that 70% of those over 12 getting vaccinated. So our path to single game tickets and our path to a packed Mosaic Stadium is through vaccination. So we would certainly encourage everybody, if you haven't yet got your first dose of the vaccines, that we would encourage you to do that as quickly as possible, because we would love to open things up for single game tickets. And we've always said from day one that we want to get as many folks into Mosaic Stadium as possible, and as the health restrictions allow. And if we hit that threshold, the health restrictions will allow us to not have any capacity restrictions.
You mentioned when you met with the meeting or the media earlier today that the club was essentially but would not turn a profit, I don't know, or lose money, however it's best to describe it, by playing this season. Will there be any way that fans notice that? Will there be things that they're used to having in stadium that they won't have, or are you going to go full bore 2019 style?
No, we're hopeful that there's not, meaningful impacts that way. There will be some things that will look and feel different, and that's largely will be around the return to play protocols. For instance, the field of play will be quite restricted. So, as much as we would love to have the big Canada flag, on field, but that requires, 200 volunteers and all the interactions there. So things like that may look different. So there will be some differences, but no, we're hopeful to put on the same level of show that our fans have come to expect, with some tweaks, but largely done for health and safety reasons.
I'm gonna say you probably dissuade Brett Lowther from grabbing beers in Pill Country and chugging them.
Yeah, that's the one thing. We'll be certainly talking to the players, and obviously they're gonna get there's gonna be lots of sessions around all the protocols. But as much as we would love that to reenact that, 2021 probably won't be the year for that.
With safety top of mind, could this be the end of Work Safe Bob in the fourth quarter stretch?
What?
No,
you gotta have that. So, Craig, 52 days from now until August 5th, as a club, what do you do? What has to happen in that time? And how much of it is things you can actively do versus waiting to see how COVID develops?
Yeah, it's a little bit of both, to be honest with you, and it's daunting. I won't lie. So normally you spend the entire off season planning a season, and of course we have as much as possible. But things have changed so rapidly. Obviously we were building out a Mosaic Stadium reopening plan that was quite dramatically different. I would sort of say and dramatically restricted. And thanks to the vaccination rates here and dropping case counts and the province's reopening plan, we've been able to shelve those plans. So, but having said that, there are some things we still need to work out. And then obviously now, we've got a firm commitment, we've got a schedule. And so it's just planning game days, planning hopefully to go on sale for single game tickets, and the constant communication. And, and then obviously tons of work from Jeremy and his team to get everybody into the country, all the testing required, all the logistics that I required around that, and getting going for training camp. So it's going to be full throttle here. It's only 7 weeks. I was talking to the team today. It's only 7 weeks till we play a game, and we have yet to plan a season in 7 weeks. We normally do it with a lot more lead time. So it's going to be a challenge, but the team's up for it and looking forward to it.
Yeah, my brain went into overdrive about broadcasting every game here on CKRM and the Cooperators Rough Rider Radio Network of, okay, now we got to do this. And oh my God, it's... I don't have nearly the work that you do in front of you. So it is a daunting task. Final one, Craig, and this just between us guys, we're just shooting the stuff. Was it really a unanimous vote? Like it was 9-0, like you can confirm it was 9-0, or was it like 7-0 and a couple teams didn't vote? What was the deal there?
No, it was as unanimous goes. So like I said, everybody knows how important it is to play football. And it was, I wasn't the only person who said, hell yeah.
And I was just going to say, you said hell yeah. When it came to Toronto's turn, did they just go, yeah, whatever?
Let's break it like, down
just,
like that.
Again, Craig, it's just guys talk here. Just,
No, there was a lot of hell yeahs. There was unanimous hell yeahs, I would say.
I love it. Unanimous hell yeahs for 2021 football. Craig, thank you so much for joining us. And thank you to everybody who works with you at the Riders for making this happen. It's been a very long slog. What is it, 575 days since the last Rider football game? I cannot wait for the week of August 5th. Thank you, sir.
Yeah, thank you guys. I can't wait. Can't wait to get it going, and can't wait to see you in the booth, DT. And a lot of work to get us there, but it's an exciting day today.
He's Craig Reynolds, the Riders president and CEO. Nice enough to join us on the Western Pizza Hotline. That was so good. Was it a hell yeah, or was it like meh? Fine, let's go. Whatever, I love it. Let's dig into the psychology. Someone needs to reveal to us. Well, one team was not as passionate as the other eight teams. We'll discuss it on the other side. Would be incredible. We get football back. That's all I need. It's 4:31. Luke Mulder joins us later. Glenn Suter, 5:30 for fine tailored suits as we celebrate the return of the CFL on the Sports Cage. Jump on into the conversation at 306-936-6262. That is our text line. What are you most looking forward to seeing? What do you want? Do you want to see all the games? Is the team you're like, you know what? If you got to take this game away from me, just give me your broad thoughts on the CFL being back 52 days away. My mind doesn't work right, Mitchell. I can't even focus. I'm so happy with what the announcement was today. Plenty more coming up. The Sports Cage on 620 CKRM. One big number for this day is 52. We are 52 days away from the start of the 2021 CFL season. Officially, for sure, it's on. The rider schedule comes out tomorrow, and there will be big announcements over the next few days. Luke Mulliner and I will have every game here live on 620 CKRM, and you can always listen online at 620CKRM.com. .434 The Sports Cage on 620 CKRM. All the guests of the show appear on the Western Pizza Hotline. Don't feel like cooking tonight? No problem. Just order Western Pizza with contactless delivery available. CFL put out the statement of the season as a go-ahead around 11 o'clock. Noon, the commissioner, Randy Ambrosi, took to the microphone and answered all of the media's questions. First up, though, we have not heard yet from Zinger about his excitement of Rider football being back in 2021. Sean Kleisinger, your reaction this morning, sir?
I set my alarm actually at 8 a.m. I don't usually get up that early. I know that's pretty sad, but I set it at 8 a.m. today just to see if the news was out yet. Was not out quite yet, so set a new alarm. And then when I finally opened up my Twitter, DT, the first thing that I saw was 620 CKRM's post saying the season is a go. What I did when it happened was I stood up and I put my arm against the wall, and I think Zinger got a little emotional.
No, you're not the only one.
Honestly, like I was just like, oh, you know, it hit home. You know what I mean? So very, very happy day indeed after a very happy weekend because the Bucks won yesterday and then today. So it's very happy few days, DT.
Just wins all over the place. On Twitter, at DT on SC, the rider I'm most excited to see again is... Your options are Cody Fajardo, William Powell, Kyron Moore, or Shaq Evans as Batman. Zinger?
Probably Shaq Evans as Batman. I mean, we've been needing the superhero here in the Queen City for a while. He's back.
Love it. Mitchell Blair?
No love for the defense?
I only had four options, and I thought... I said again. I'd put again in the question. I thought, well, that excludes, like, Larry Dean, so...
Cody Fajardo.
Are people excited for Micah Johnson? I'm super jacked that Micah's back.
You know what? I got to be honest with
Nick
you.
Marshall?
I forgot that Micah Johnson was a member of this team again.
Did you forget?
I was going through the Rider depth chart, and I went, Micah Johnson? Well, he re-signed.
Yeah.
I completely just forgot about that.
It's the reverse of the usual suspects where, and just like that, he's back. Like he was BC, and then he was back to Saskatchewan. Excited about guys on the defense. Cody Fajardo, 73% of the vote so far. That is out. DT on SC, the rider I am most excited to see again is, and maybe no surprise, it is the quarterback. Commissioner Randy Ambrosi obviously was excited to reveal the news today. Had some other nuggets for us because, well, when the media gets a hold of them, they're going to ask him every question. And people will want to know about masks and vaccinations and how's the season going to be different. The schedule, as we mentioned, it will come out tomorrow. The commissioner says that's the schedule. He was asked about potentially making changes as other provinces open up, if they happen to open up faster than expected. Would you move games from the west back to the east? Commissioner said that barring a disaster, that will absolutely not happen. The schedule that we see tomorrow will be the schedule for the season. he was asked about, well, what about a single division? That's been floated around. What about an 8-team playoff? That's been floated around. A commissioner was very adamant. It is traditional East and West divisions. And as it stands right now, traditional 6-team playoffs, though he did leave a little crack of a window open to expand that. I think, to me, that's just the way you got to go. Just give us what we know. Give us what we know. 14 is close enough to 18. Give us, as Rider fans, what we know.
I want nothing to do with an 8-team playoff in a 9-team league.
So 89% of the teams make the playoffs.
What? Just, are we going to give, like, the team that doesn't make it, like, a participation ribbon?
Do you really think the 4-14 Argos deserve to be excluded from the playoffs?
The 4-14 Argos.
Do you think they deserve to be excluded?
The 4-14 Argos. Is that where you're going?
I'm totally with you on that. 8 teams would be a lot. But there were so many stories of what might they do, what might they have to do. And you even heard it in some of what Craig Randall said, is this is what we want, but if it was today, we couldn't do it. So we need to see how this all does develop.
And we're close. Like in very Saskatchewan, close. We are very, very close. What was it the government said today? We're 3% of those 12 and over away from getting rid of the masks, having all the restrictions removed, basically everything going back to what it was March of 2020, before hell kicked in.
Before it all
came out. So yeah, we're that close, and I don't know what that 3% is when it comes to an overall number, because I haven't done the math. But, you know, I know today another 9,900 people, or yesterday another 9,900 people were vaccinated. I know my turn came today for second shot, and now I'm just waiting for that to happen. You have to think that this is going to happen within the next 6 days, which is what the government's looking for. And, you know, like I said, if we get that opening game here on a Friday night or even a Saturday night, and obviously I want it on Friday, and I think TSN probably wants it on Friday too because they know what it's going to be like here, it will just be an amazing sight at Mosaic Stadium. And when the lights go out,
yeah,
and bring them out starts up, you thought they had a beast quake when Marshawn Lynch scored his touchdown back years ago?
Yeah.
I'd love to have a seismologist around to see if they make that stadium shake, because right now, I wouldn't say no.
Jim and Regina's on the text line. The Riders will be playing the BC Lions on Friday, August 6th. You heard it here first. Jim, we've been hearing that.
I've been hearing that as
well. We've been hearing that. We just saw on Twitter someone saying Montreal and Edmonton in week one, Montreal at Edmonton. I feel like you got to have Winnipeg and Hamilton. So that leaves you Toronto, Ottawa, and Calgary. So Ottawa, Calgary, and Toronto gets the bye. Toronto, Calgary, and Charleston takes on his former team once again. Actually, Toronto, Calgary had the big trade, right? Eric Rogers and Cordero Law. That's an interesting one, too. And Ottawa gets the bye.
And I'm guessing that game would be in Calgary.
Yeah, you would presume. So Jim, that's what we've heard as well. I love your thought. And I love the thought of taking out Mike Riley in week number one. That
By
would
the
be
way,
fine.
I know Ontario's sport minister today, Lisa McLeod.
Yep.
They got a return to play protocol for all the teams there.
Yep.
I laughed because she didn't mention the Argonauts. She mentioned the Red Blacks. She mentioned the Ticats, the Blue Jays. I didn't get into the meat and potatoes of that, though. Does this still mean that a lot of the games to start off with will still be heavily based in the West?
As like
with this return to play that they had, like, so with
oh,
the
with
Argos,
Ontario's plan.
Yeah, with Ontario's plan. Does this still change things, or are a lot of games still going to be majority of them in the West to start off with?
Well, the schedule's been the one, it's been around in versions. The CFL schedule has been around in versions for a few weeks. Farhan Lalde has been talking about it with us on Wednesdays. To hear Craig say, expect a lot of Rider football at home in August, and that they're starting at home, you go, okay, well, they are planning to play heavy West to start with. And, you know, Ontario where three teams are will catch up and they'll get their home games later. You mentioned Lisa McLeod. She said today that we had the protocol to return to play. It didn't guarantee that fans are going to be in attendance quite yet. And it didn't necessarily apply. Well, a good part of it didn't apply to the Raptors or the Jays or TFC when you have to cross the American border all the time. Leagues that are in and amongst themselves, they're fine to go in Ontario, she says.
So the CFL.
Including the CFL, the CEBL, and yeah, all the ones that stay contained within Canada. Justin Dunk had a good question of the commissioner on this day. He said, well, what changed from last year's no vote? There was a vote in August of, are we going to play? And they went, no, we're not going to do it. Today it was roundly unanimous and excitedly unanimous, or I'm trying to think of a better word that would have worked with unanimous. My wordsmithing is falling apart in my excitement.
Well, you've got 52 days to pick up on that.
Really got to work on that. Commissioner said, well, our confidence has been growing, and last year at this time, we could not possibly have had fans in the stadium. So that was the big difference, right? Why last year? Why not last year? And why this year? Well, nobody was going to have fans in the stadium last year. Now, like, we're going to have fans in Regina from day one,
yep,
right? Calgary and Alberta, Calgary and Edmonton will have fans from day one. And honestly, when you talk about vaccination rates and the final phase of the reopening, July 11th is the earliest it could be. July 11th leaves you a lot of latitude to August 5th.
Well, yeah, training camp's just starting then.
Yeah, first day of training camp, yeah. July 10th. Right, that leaves you a ton of room for things to go badly or slower than you expect. So I honestly expect significant crowd for game one against BC, if that's the one.
Yes, and by the way, Craig did not mention this, but it was mentioned today. If you don't know, there will be no preseason games this year.
That would make sense,
yes.
Yeah.
So it's going to be like the NFL season this year. Here you go. Week one, there's your starters. Go at her, boys.
Can't wait to see. Well, training camp reports will become that much more important, mm-hmm, right? We're going to have to be tuned into the sports cage every day, find out what happened at camp. What about this Paul McRoberts and the amazing catches he made? What about this guy? I heard he had some fantastic plays in the defensive backfield.
Is Isaac Harker really challenging Cody Fajardo to be the starter?
Right? Going to have to be tuned in. One question I think I have for folks is, are you going to go? Because it has been so long. It'll be 600 days between games here in Saskatchewan. More than 600 days in between games. Things have changed a little bit. The ability to be around crowds is different. What about masks? What about vaccines? Blah, blah, blah. Are you going to go? Are you ready to go back to a professional sporting event with 33,000 other people? I've been curious about this for a while.
I think the majority of Rider fans that are aged my age, mid-50s and lower, are all for it. Because they had a summer of Rider football taken away from them. As I said, I think the fan base has eroded somewhat, and that includes here. But I think that the fact that something that you have been able to do every summer for how many years that was taken away from you last year, I think a lot of those people will go back. And Craig did say today, just because the province says you don't have to wear a mask, if that's the way it's going to be,
yeah,
doesn't mean that you don't have to take one. Or that you don't have to wear one. If you want to wear your Rider mask or your mask from Old Navy or whatever.
It's got puppies on it.
Or your,
nice.
Mine don't. Mine are just straight colors. Or your Dr. Pepper one like I have. Yes, I had it on last week.
You have a Dr. Pepper
mask?
Yes,
I do.
And you haven't told me where I can get one of these?
I told you last week, did I not?
No.
Oh, all right.
We're discussing that during the break.
As I said, it's your choice.
Yeah.
And if you want to wear a mask, you can. And I think that will allow a lot of people who might be a little skittish to go. And I understand that.
100%.
But whereas a lot of people are going to throw their masks away, you might want to keep two or three ready to go. And if you wear them to the stadium, I don't really think anybody's going to look at you any differently because you're there for the same reason they are.
Yeah.
And that's to watch the Riders kick butt.
Yeah.
So I think a majority of people, and again, I'm just saying my, you know, mid-50s, I think you ask those people, and I think they are just, tell me when and where.
For the Riders' sake, I certainly hope so, because they're going into the season forecasting losing money from not having as many home dates, potentially not having as much attendance, or concession consumption, let's say that.
I guess the only thing that scares me with that is I don't know what the season ticket base is. But Craig did say that expect to see a lot of Rider football in August.
Yeah.
We know that there's going to be a football game long weekend September here.
Yep.
Does that mean that the Riders are playing four of their first five at home? I'm just throwing that out there. And if it is, when you have a lot of people that were affected by the pandemic financially that are Rider fans, there's no way that you can afford to go to four Rider games in August, whether you live in Regina, Saskatoon, Weyburn, whatever. For some, that's just going to be too much.
Yeah.
And that's something that's going to hurt the team, because there might be some people out there that are Rider fans that were hit hard by the pandemic that are going to say, you know what? We can only afford maybe one trip, maybe two this year.
Yeah. It's an imperfect solution, because there isn't a perfect solution, right? So
no, and I don't know what single game prices are for this year. I would hope that not only here but across the league, you don't start raising them up to try and make that money back that you lost. Is it a situation where maybe we cut some prices to maybe try and get some more people in?
Yeah.
I don't know. But like I said, if you're going to have a lot of Rider football here in August, as Craig has said, and the Riders have got no choice on this one because this is the way things are going.
Yeah.
So you can't complain at the Riders and say we have too many home games in August. But the complaints from people that there's just too many home games in a back-to-back scenario, for me financially, I completely understand that this year.
What do you think? Can you have too many games in August for your taste? Would it keep you from going if there were four home games in the first 5 weeks? Will you go back? Or will we wait and see how it goes? Brian's on the text line, says, I think I'll be opting out and watching the 21 season on my TV at home. Totally legit.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. Some people are going to not be excited about standing next to 30,000 people and eating food. If someone coughs on me, like the first time I feel someone cough on me, I don't know what I'm going to do, because it's just been so taboo.
Give Luke a backhand and continue on.
Yeah. If anything, I'll be hitting Luke. Yes, that's a super idea. Man thrown from booth dies in hideous accident. Yeah, that would not be amazing. It is 4:50. Glenn Suter in fine-tailored suits at 5:30. If you're listening last week, you can imagine how excited Suits is for this news. That is going to be a great segment coming up on the Sports Cage. This particular segment of the show brought to you by Nick's Service in Emerald Park, your local Massey Ferguson, Challenger, Rogator, Gleaner, and Fendt dealer. Call 781-1077.
Sports ticker at 4:53. Do the Habs have a third straight upset in them? They open their series with the Vegas Golden Knights tonight. Habs have won seven straight games over the higher-ranked Leafs and Jets. Game time is at 7 o'clock on Sportsnet and CBC. Denmark's Christian Eriksen remains in hospital in stable condition. He's the player whose heart stopped and he collapsed on the field on Saturday. Eriksen has been sending messages to teammates and appears to be doing well. The Nets will not have Kyrie Irving or James Harden for tomorrow's game with the Bucks. Irving hurt his ankle in Game 4. That series is tied at 2. Sports ticker for Bronco Plumbing and Heating, where professional service is guaranteed. They'll treat you right. 781-2090.
Hook to Shaq. Caught. Tackle miss. 50. 45. 40. Shaq still running. 30. 20. Shaq is going to score. Shaq Evans. 61-yard touchdown, running into first place for number one. Yeah, eat it, Winnipeg. Shaq's doing that again to the Bombers.
Oh, I love that clip so much. You gave me a choice to pick between like five of them and needed to be that one.
Nice.
Yeah.
We have a few more still to come as we celebrate the fact that the 2021 CFL season is a go August 5th. Bob Irving, voice of the Bombers on 680 CJOB in Winnipeg, says, I can't wait for the August 5th opener, the Grey Cup rematch of Hamilton versus Winnipeg. That's the first person I've seen confirm that to be the case. That's the one I've wanted to see. First person, and you pretty much think Bob would know.
Yeah, he's got some contacts, I think.
Yeah.
He's got some connections.
Hamilton versus Winnipeg. We're seeing reports of Montreal versus Edmonton. Jim and Regina said Saskatchewan versus BC on Friday the 5th. So that leaves Toronto, Ottawa, and Calgary to figure out. It could be anybody against anybody. And, man, I am going to burn a hole in my screen watching that game, Mitchell.
You would. You should. Unless, of course, you know, unless, of course, you're a little busy because that first game is, you know, the second part of a Friday night doubleheader. Because you'll be a little busy that day.
That is true.
Yes.
That is true. It's going, I'm just so excited. This news, like I said, I fear for the clerk at the 7-Eleven on my way home because that dude or gal is getting a random hug from a weirdo. I'm just going to be
again,
so excited.
We've talked about this.
That's fair. Not sure how four games in August is different. Four games in 3 weeks for Oilers games or Flames games. Similar cost. Mosaic is at least outdoors. I'll be in the stands, says Mike in Prince Albert. If you're budgeted to go to four games, then absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But if you like it a little more spread out, then I could see how that could absolutely be a problem. Curtis says, I would go to 30 games in August. Can't wait. I don't know if I could watch 30 games.
Yes, you could.
That's a lot of plastic seats. Well, to be a fan, a lot of plastic seats,
yes,
and sunstroking.
Yes, you could. Night games. There's no sunstroke at night.
Yeah, but I'm sensitive.
I know.
I'm sensitive.
I know.
You know that very well.
Get Corey Hart. You get. Never mind. Never mind. Something else. That's not sunstroke at night.
Yeah. How are you going to feel when bring him out?
I'm going to cry.
That's going to be.
Oh, that's going to be amazing. Like, I'll be honest. There will be a lump in my throat when that happens.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm sure that myself and other media members will have their phones out to get it out on the old Twitter and the old Facebook and stuff like that. But if it's a night game, lights out, and all of a sudden the scoreboard starts going crazy and the crescendo of the fans that hopefully will be a full crowd, the crescendo as it rises up, I'm not joking when I say you might want to have a seismologist around the stadium.
Yeah.
Because it could be, as I said, as I joked, if fans in Seattle could make that stadium move when Marshawn Lynch had his Beastquake touchdown in the playoffs several years ago,
yep,
Rider fans can do the same thing when their team comes out after having not seen them since the 2019 Western Final.
It'll be over 600 days between games, and it is going to be great, and we will have it all for you right here on 620 CKRM and online at 620CKRM.com. 4:58 news is next. Glenn Suter in fine tailored suits at 5:30, and hoping for a little Luke Mullinder in the 6 o'clock hour. The Sports Cage on 620 CKRM.
Stradler looking deep for Dembski, picked off one-handed by McCray at the goal line. Dembski was breaking free. LJ McCray. OBJ one-handed that for the interception.
This is just great ball tracking by LJ McCray.
I remember that. Bottom left corner, LJ McCray, one-hander. We're going to see highlights like that. 14 games worth coming up starting August 5th. The CFL announcing that the 2021 season is a go. The Sports Cage brought to you by Westrum Lumber Timber Mart with locations in Assiniboia, Moose Jaw, Rolo, and Weyburn. I knew it was coming. You knew it was coming. The way COVID has turned, what health departments and provincial governments are saying, you knew this announcement was coming. Still, I was delirious with joy when it happened. And sitting here right now, Mitchell, thinking about, oh, man, we're going to be in there and John's going to be feeding me stats, and we're going to see Cody Fajardo, you're number two, and oh, Jason Maz is coming. It's all piling up on me now, and I love it.
How many days?
52. To the opener, as Bob Irving says, Winnipeg versus
Hamilton.
So 53 days to the first Rider game, we believe.
Our pregame show will start at 5.
Oh.
Kickoff at 8. If that's what...
Jim and Regina.
That's what Jim said.
Jim, if you know what time it is and if it's part of a doubleheader.
Oh, I thought he said it was 8. I'm sorry. I thought that's what he had said. Yeah. And you know what? I think the news of the day, and you're right, I think you're like a lot of other people, but I think now there's a genuine excitement in the air, knowing that Rider football is back. And, you know, we've heard from some people that, hey, Curtis said, hell, give me 30 games and I'll sit there all 30 games. That's the way some people are. And that's great because that, you know, there still is that buzz and there still is that vibe. As I said, I think the fan base has eroded somewhat around the league, and that includes here. But maybe some of that, though, goes away today with the fact that now... what I didn't have, I now have again. I can now get invested in it again. Last year, while I couldn't sit there and talk about what Cody Fajardo did or, you know, how Nick Marshall played this game or, oh my God, how are the Riders going to survive without Charleston Hughes?
Yep.
Because I just didn't have to worry about it. Now, I'm guessing there are fans tonight that even though they've had it sitting in their back of their mind, now they can sit there and go, okay, so let's see. So Cody's the starter. William Powell's the running back. Honey, who did they draft again? Oh, yeah, right. They got that guy. The O-line's going to have this guy, Shepley. Oh, right, Shepley's gone. He's not there anymore.
But Boyko's here.
Yeah, but Boyko's here. Finest. Yeah, that idiot Blair, he didn't think Micah Johnson was back, but he is.
What's Charbel DeBeer in year number two?
Yeah, so, you know, as I said, that excitement will grow.
Yeah.
What is sad is that probably fans, you know, they'll be like me when you guys are in Saskatoon, and you're hearing about this guy and that guy, and, oh, that's nice. Sure like to see these guys so I can get my own look at them. We're not going to get that this year, so we're going to have to depend on the training camp reports to see what's going on. But, yeah, it's exciting, and the schedule will come out tomorrow. I'm sure that it'll be, honey, can we rebook that wedding? Riders are playing Edmonton that Saturday. No, please. Okay, we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
You know, you can plan your summer, or at least the last half of your summer.
Yeah.
Around it. And I would think, Derek, that once training camp starts and it gets going, that there's going to be a palpable buzz in this city. And on game day, if it's the Friday night, people might just be working a half day that day, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah. Just paint the town green and shut them down.
Yep. It'll be great for all the bars and the nightclubs around. You know, I think of Bushwhackers. I think of O'Hanlon's downtown. I think of all the places downtown where Rider fans can go. I'm sorry, I forget the name of the
7-Eleven.
No, the outlet on Saskatchewan Drive.
Like the Dairy
Queen? Pile of Bones.
Pile of Bones, thank you.
Pile of Bones,
yeah.
Okay.
Rebellion, like, you know, like, I just, you know, Cathedral Social Hall, those places, like, that night, like, they'll just be ready to go. And those that don't want to go to the game, like they said, what's stopping them from going to the Brew House or Boston Pizza or whatever?
Well, and that's
watching it with fans there.
That's a very good point, because at that time, things going as they are, there will be literally nothing stopping them, because we're talking about a world where all the restrictions in our province that we've been dealing with since March of last year will be gone, because vaccinations will have taken hold through enough of the population that the province will say, yes, you can go. You can go to Western Pizza, sit down, crush some pizza and some wings, and then drive to the game. You can stop at that Burger King just around the corner. I love that Burger King zinger. I don't know if you're a Burger King guy, but I love that Burger King. Just up from the stadium.
What's wrong with you guys?
A little 2-for-6 chicken sandwich in my mouth.
Well, that's the only good part of it. Never mind.
We're talking about it'll be a fair bit different than it is right now when Rider football is back. It might actually feel like
game day.
Yeah.
like a 2019 game day and not a weird 2020 August 6th. But that 2019 August 6th where we thought, oh, okay, this team's really starting to come around now. Suck it, Hamilton. Mm-hmm. We beat you in week 8.
And how many, I know I thought about it on Labor Day Sunday, 2020, getting up.
Yep.
Not getting ready to go to a football game. I remember Grey Cup Sunday, and I went to go get my ProLine tickets for the NFL games. And there was a woman in there, and she was wearing a Grey Cup Festival hoodie. And I looked at her, and I went, oh, my God, today was supposed to be Grey Cup Sunday. Because you got lost on it, right?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
You know? And I know last week, like, we should have been talking about week 2 in the CFL because week 1 was supposed to be last week. Okay, so it gets delayed for a few weeks, but we can finally start talking about the X's and O's, the ins and outs.
Yeah.
And, yeah, as I said, I think once that date gets closer, there's going to be just more and more excitement, and then come game day, you're just going to feel it around this city, and it's going to be something else.
And you're going to feel it in a lot of cities and towns, not only in Saskatchewan, but, I mean, Alberta as well. You're correct about not everyone being able to make it to all the games. We drive in from Sherwood Park. Very long days, challenging to make it work, as we absolutely want to be there. Man, one, driving in from Sherwood Park, Alberta, bless your heart, that is a commute to see the football
game. It's like 9 hours, isn't it?
That's a long commute for a football game.
Yeah.
So, and that's why I was glad that we didn't see that on a Thursday night. Because I'm just going to take a guess that they're not going to get to work on Friday. I'm just not taking a wild guess.
Yeah, not going to go well. I was reminded of, God bless the guy behind CFL Reddit. I was reminded today, Zinger, do you remember this? Do you remember when the United Football Players Association posted that thing that's saying there was a strong likelihood the CFL may cancel the 2021 and 2022 seasons as well?
Yeah, I remember that.
We've talked to several sources high up in football, and the CFL may cancel 21 and 22 as well.
I don't think anyone really took that serious, so like it was shot down right away.
The blatant attempt to try to get your name into the news and it worked for a second, and now, oddly enough, they did not have any tweets today. UFPA did not have any tweets today.
I'm looking. I can't find anything from UFPA.
Where are you guys at? Come on.
No, nothing about that? That's
not even a meme of eating some crow? Nothing.
No, I think you trolled for attention and got a little bit, and now not so much. Riders will start at home. Craig Reynolds confirming that. Honestly, if Craig fought tooth and nail for Labor Day Banjo Bowl, that's exactly what we needed. Labor Day weekend, Bombers, Riders, had to have it. Whatever else you want to do to the schedule, fine. You want to push the Grey Cup back to frozen times in Hamilton when the wind coming up the lake is going to just freeze us to the core. Fine. But we get Labor Day here against the Bombers. Love it. Love it. That was one worth fighting for sure. Well, anything else come to mind as ones that need to be who they open with? I would love it to have been Toronto, but it's probably going to be BC.
I would like the Riders to go to Edmonton for the hello, everybody. That's my bad Bullwinkle impression.
Oh, you want something?
I'd like to see the Riders go into Edmonton opening night and just dismantle the Elk.
The Elks are going to be pretty good.
Just put some Elk on the barbecue and let's just finish them off.
What do you need from the schedule that will come out tomorrow, Zinger? Labor Day, Banjo Bowl, gotta be.
I was hoping for a Red Blacks at Riders opening day so we can win like 45-0, something like that.
But guaranteed win night?
Guaranteed win night, you know. But
you don't have to do guaranteed win night. If they win, you get a free ticket.
Man.
You don't have to do that here.
Yeah. I would like to see, I think it would be cool for the Riders to open. I know that's probably not going to happen, but like Mitch was saying, the Riders opening the very first game ever with the Edmonton Elks, I think that would be a kind of a cool game to watch.
Yeah.
But we shall see. But I hope we do play Edmonton sooner rather than later, because I want to see that new look, that new brand make its way to Mosaic. Yeah, so hopefully sometime in August, Edmonton can come here.
There's a report out there that it's Montreal and Edmonton in week number one. Bob Irving saying Hamilton and his Bombers. Jim and Regina saying it's BC and Saskatchewan. So we'll see what comes of the other three teams. I don't know. I want to find something to nitpick. I want to find something to criticize because this can't be a perfect plan. But I just find myself so overwhelmingly excited about returning that, like I would have in 2020, I will deal with whatever you need to throw at us as fans. Whatever it's got to be. We got to have Thursday. We have a random Wednesday game just because? Fine. There's nothing. If I gripe tomorrow, Zinger, and Mitchell, I know you won't be here, but with us, but Zinger, if I gripe about the CFL schedule tomorrow, just throw something at me or punch me.
Yeah, that's not allowed. If you start pouting about something, I'm going to stand up and I'm going to, I don't know.
You going to bully him, Zinger?
I'm going to bully you. I'm going to Hulk out, you know?
Well, if you are playing and we're hypothesizing that they play four home games in the first 5 weeks, that only leaves you three home games for the next 11 weeks. Yeah. Right, in a 16-week, 14-game season, you only have three home games left. So your run to the playoffs for playoff seeding might be a lot of road games, which are tough to win.
I'm going to say, if Craig said there's going to be a lot of football, because I just can't see it being that many. But as I said, you know that there's going to be a game on Labor Day here.
Which is week five.
I would say at least three of those first five are home games. At least.
Now we're trying to read into what Craig said. When he says a lot of football and that one of those games in August.
Well, week one is going to be here. And I think you had said that you had heard rumblings that the first 2 weeks the Riders were going to be at home.
Far and Lalji had said previously that, a draft of the schedule had two Rider home games the first 2 weeks.
So that puts you, so the sixth, so then the weekend of the 14th.
Yeah. One on the road.
Go on the road, and then...
That's for the first five now.
Yeah, that's for the first five, yeah.
And you would have three home games for the rest of the time. Zinger.
Yeah, so will we find out tomorrow, too, about the playoff format?
Playoffs?
Or, I hope to goodness, if it's eight out of nine teams in the playoffs, DT, wake me up when the playoffs start. You know what I mean?
Commissioner says there is a slight chance it could change, but as of now, traditional playoff format.
Yeah.
And I think the reason that was changing was just because if something goes stupid with the virus, correct?
Exactly. There was the thought that they would go to an 8-team playoff.
So that's the only way.
If they had to reduce from the 14 games they had proposed.
All right.
Now we're getting the 14 games. There's no reason to.
So we could have a reduction of 14 then?
What do you mean? There's 14 games.
No, but you said, though, that if we went to...
Oh.
That if they... There could be a reduction of games if something went...
If it, that was this 8-game or 8-team playoff was contemplated in the case that it wasn't a 14-game season.
Oh, okay. I wasn't aware of that one.
If it was going to be, pull out a number, 10-game season, hey, we could go to an 8-team playoff to get more home days involved in that. A lot of things, they've been talking about for a long time, we'll consider anything. And from Dave Naylor's reporting, that was one thing that they did consider. It is 5:21. We got to duck out, go to break. Glenn Suter in fine tailored suits at 5:30 on the Sports Cage. Jump on in with your joy, your concern, whatever it is for the 2021 Rider season. 306-936-6262. We are also on Twitter at Sports Cage 620 CKRM.
Six minutes away from Glenn Suter joining DT and Mitchell Blair. Afternoon Rush, game one for the Montreal Canadiens goes tonight in Vegas. The Stanley Cup semifinal opener goes at 7. Jeff Petrie and Jake Evans skated with the extra players today, meaning they are not expected to play tonight. And Jordan Eberle and the Islanders are basking in their 1-0 series lead. Game two goes tomorrow in Tampa. Eberle had an assist on the game-winning goal in yesterday's opener. Jays are in Boston for a 5-10 start. That's just underway. Jays hit 8 homers yesterday as they destroyed the Red Sox. Vladdy Guerrero Jr. leads the majors in all-star votes, not to mention he leads the majors and homers, RBI, average, slugging, total bases, this, that, you name it, DT.
Park-adjusted OPS.
Yeah.
I did not expect to see Vladdy leading the league in batting average.
Oh, I know.
I mean, that I don't know why that surprised me. I haven't seen too much, but, I mean, the guy's just socking the ball.
Usually sluggers don't lead in batting average, too, for the most part.
Do you remember when we were talking in advance of the season, Zinger, we were talking about proposition wagers for the Toronto Blue Jays and Vladdy Guerrero's over-under home run number? Do you remember what it was?
I think it was 27 or...
It was 27 and a half.
Yeah.
He's got 21... 63 games into the season.
Like, I think he's on pace for, like, he has to be close to, like, 50 on pace or something like that. Like,
he's
my
on
goodness.
Pace for well over 50.
Is he pitching in the 8th and 9th inning these days?
He should
because,
be.
Because, you know,
might as well.
33 and 30, 7.5 back.
God.
You can hit all your homers you want, but if you're not getting anybody out, you're not winning anything.
Incredible. Incredible. We had Craig Reynolds on with us in the 4 o'clock hour at 4:15. If you missed it, jump online, get the Sports Cage on demand. Please do subscribe, leave us a rating and a review. It's going to be a lot of CFL talk for the next 53 days. Reynolds saying that the club is going to sustain significant financial losses to play in this 2021 season, and that now that they have a plan and a schedule, now they can more effectively approach the province for help. The province has helped out, gosh, the Pats, the SJHL, the province has had funding for a number of sports organizations, but we haven't heard of anything for the Riders. Reynolds saying today in his media availability that now that we know the season is ahead and we can do things like forecast financially, now we can approach the province with a request. Cool? You're okay with that? As a taxpayer?
Yes and no.
Okay.
Yes and no. There'll be people out there that'll be completely against this, much like they were with the Pats. There wasn't a lot of anger with the SJHL, but I know there were some people that were saying, well, you know, when you've got Brandt that owns the Pats and you've got Colin Priestner, and I forget what his car sales, is that what he is, car sales business?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Swift Current PA, they're all community run, but these guys are owned. Well, why are you giving money to companies in essence? Well, the Riders aren't a company, so, but yet they are a very big entity.
Yeah.
And a lot of people say, well, I think, you know, taxpayers' money, well, that comes in the support I give to this football team, whether it be season tickets, whether it be merchandise, whether it be this, whether it be that.
Yep.
We know that anything the government does is going to be scrutinized, and will the government give the Riders money? Yeah, they will. And will it probably be in the long run, a good thing for this province? Yeah, it will. When you take a look at tourism and the other sectors, the hospitality sectors and stuff like that, that will also benefit as a spinoff. But those that don't like it, I can see their argument. I guess we have to see what type of commitment is being given to the Riders.
Yeah.
And as long as it's not something that's completely egregious.
We'll be keeping our eyes peeled for that, because not everybody, we all love the Riders, but not everybody in the province listens to this show. I thought that was neat and something we'll have to bring up, because I like my tax dollars staying in my pockets. I'm okay with that. Am I okay with helping the Riders? Yeah, probably. I'm a little biased, but probably.
Right.
We'll wait and see how that does play out when that ask comes. We'll, of course, hear it from the great news department here at 620 CKRM.
We have one of those, don't we?
29. You're the captain of it. You should know this. 529, fine tailored suits with Glenn Suter. Next on the cage, the segment of the show brought to you by Kevin's Marine. Make the most of summer with a boat or pontoon from Kevin's Marine. Kevin'sMarine.com. On the best day of 2021, the day they announced the CFL season is a go. Glenn Suter in fine tailored suits, brought to you by Quality Tire, 10 locations across Saskatchewan, qualitytire.ca. Suits, I had a joke to start with. I'm not even going to do it. Please tell me your thoughts on this, the most glorious of days.
Well, my wife and I were two-stepping on the deck as soon as the news came down, and there was no music playing. That was
love it.
It was it's a great day. I mean, it's a great day. You know, even beyond players, the fans that love this game, the great tradition, but it's a great day for football in our country. And I've said from the beginning of this pandemic that football has been in a crisis. The narrative has been hard on the game for a while now for other reasons. And we've sort of battled back from that. But this pandemic opened a lot of eyes, and it's been tough and tough on a lot of people. Obviously, we're talking about a game here still, and many lives have been affected adversely here. But boy, this is a great day for the game of football. Let me start out by saying the quote that was, let's get right to it, enthusiastic, unanimous vote by all Board of Governors. Not 7 of 9, not 8 of 9. It was an enthusiastic hell yeah vote, unanimous with the board.
Yeah.
Because let's just end all the speculation, agendas, discussions, doubt, what could have, maybe, are they sure, are they lying to us? Drop it all. That's over. Unanimous. All 9 ready to go.
You don't feel like you want to talk about maybe there was one like, well, if you guys are in, fine, let's go. Like when you have to go see a bad movie with your friends back in the day, you're like, fine, I don't really want to go to Goonies, but whatever. I'd rather see Sack Lunch. You don't believe in any of that?
No, I believe that when they decided to cancel the 2020 season, it was very difficult for all 9. I believe that they tried. They worked on the bubble idea in Winnipeg. They did their best to make some sort of business model work or some sort of business plan work for a bubble season. It just wasn't lining up to happen. And so they had to decide to cancel that one. But this, I believed, and I've heard, my sources are telling me that it's been 9 governors, 9 teams working tirelessly to get the players back on the field and get this game back up and running.
Yeah, this isn't the biggest takeaway. I wanted to tweet it earlier today, but I thought maybe not entirely the day. But essentially, 9 teams have signed up to probably lose money in 2021, and they're doing that so they can bring us CFL football. And maybe they don't deserve the biggest round of applause. I think I want to celebrate the players more, but I just don't want that to go unacknowledged that there are private owners in this league that said, you know what? I'm ready to lose money. Here's money out of my pocket. Let's make this football happen. I think they deserve to be applauded for that.
Yeah. Of course. I mean, for me, the thank you that I tweeted out earlier today was, again, right to the heart and soul of it, which is the frontline workers, the doctors, nurses, and the scientists that have got us here. They got us back. They got us back within 2 years. So we didn't lose 2 seasons. We lost 1 season. And this pandemic was the reason for that, this virus. But because of their hard work, we're back. So, you know, that's where I think credit needs to be given first. But yeah, you know, and I think when we're talking about lost money and you know, I don't want to make light of it. Certainly, we're all good at spending other people's money. I know that, but yeah. And you know, and I don't want
Riley. Make, what the hell? Yeah,
yeah, and I don't want to make light of lost revenues. But you know, the NHL is going to probably lose 9 figures in lost revenues. The NFL certainly did. I mean, probably 10 figures when you talk about NFL. Money lost with not having fans in the stands for a whole season. So, you know, I mean, this has been tough economically on the world and on every business. Live music. I mean, my son's a guitar player and singer, hasn't played live in a year and a half. He's going nuts. He's, you know, like, and then I think, and you mentioned it, DT, I'm really happy for the players. Yeah. I really am. And that's when I think of the old 100 years ago player in me, I would be going bizarre nuts losing a year. You know, you know, you only have a small window to play pro football for a living. And it's a dream since you're a kid and you get that opportunity. It's hard enough. And the competition is so hard to even make a team. Then you make a team and you become a player and a year is taken away from you because of this pandemic. So I'm really happy for those guys. And when I read the tweets from a lot of players, including Cody Fajardo today,
yeah,
I could feel the emotion. I could hear the emotion in the tweet when I was reading it out loud. Like, I mean, a couple of guys saying, this news is going to make me cry today. They're excited to get back.
I'm curious to see now that we know, hey, this is coming. This is 52 days away from the start of the season. I'm curious to see how many we've had, 20 retirements already? Is there more to come? Because you talk about how you would have gone bizarre nuts in this time. Some guys have found other things, right? And now the rubber meets the road on, am I ready to be back for 2021? Are the players going to be back? Are the fans going to be back? Though we have a lot of certainty, the human reactions that we're going to get from here through August 5th, I'm very curious to see them.
Yeah, so am I. I mean, it's going to continue to be a sort of a moving target, and it will evolve as we get more vaccinations out there and it continues to get better and stronger and we fight this herd immunity issue, or not issue, but goal is what we're trying to get to. So, I try to take it and look at it in a personal way. For instance, I'll be back in the booth. I will be wearing a mask when I fly. So I'm going to fly to Saskatchewan, hopefully for that first game. I hope. I haven't seen the schedule, but I've got my fingers crossed.
Yep.
And I'll wear a mask. In fact, I'll wear a mask on a plane for the rest of this calendar year for sure. And maybe even into next year. I probably will wear a mask going grocery shopping at least for a few more months, even after both my shots. I think there'll be different comfort levels for different people as to where they want to be. I mean, Saskatchewan and every team in the league has a great opportunity here to start putting their logo right on masks. So that could be a thing for crowds, that they just have a blanket of rider logo masks in the section or whatever it may be. So, you know, I think that'll be very personal, and everyone will try to sort of take their own approach as to where their comfort level is. But I think Mitchell mentioned it earlier. I've been listening in all day, guys. And I think you mentioned it earlier where he said, when you have it taken away and you're getting it back, that perspective is strong. It's a strong emotion. And I know I'll be emotional game one. I'll try to keep that together so I don't lose my man card, but I have missed the game. I have missed the competition. I have missed the great athletes. I've missed the speed, the physicality, all of that stuff. So, that'll be personal though.
Glenn, I did bring that up saying, because I know we've talked about it on this show before, that I think the fan base around the CFL has eroded after what happened last year, just for the fact that it just wasn't front of sight, front of mind. And I think that's happened here for, part of the demographics here. But now that it's back, how much of that now is, like I said in the last hour, now you can go back and go, oh, okay, let's see. Yeah, Fajardo's the quarterback. Powell's the running back. Shaq, and, here's the questions you have. How much of that was lost can now be found and found within the next 7 weeks now that we know what's on the horizon?
Well, that'll be, so important. Mitchell, I think you're gonna see that discussion ramp up. Obviously, we will on the cage and talk about the rosters and the projected starters and the different coaching philosophies and all of those things that is one of the things that's great about football. And one of the reasons it's the also good news, by the way, today with C218. Yep. As I was gonna get to gambling, that when guys are starting to place bets, when that happens, and let me knock on wood, because I don't want to put the cart ahead of the horse here, but we're very close. We're really close to that going through. And if it does, that's where people start thinking about, who's playing quarterback for which teams, and that creates the enthusiasm. I mean, I don't think we should be too hard and judgmental on how many fans are in initially, how many fans maybe are even in September, October, when all of restrictions are lifted. I think we got to be careful with that, because let's look at TV numbers as well. Are more people just saying, hey, I'm happy to have my riders back on TV and watching them at home, because they're still not quite ready to step out. I've been calling it, sometimes they feel uncomfortable because it's too people-y. If it's too people-y, I just, I maybe want to stay away for a second, and maybe next year will be when my return, but I'm watching it on TV. So maybe we'll see a big spike there. I don't know. I think it's there is uncertainty, DT, as you mentioned. But the great news is we're going to see the game kick off on August 5th. Is it August yet? Is my question.
it's coming soon. I wanted to ask you, Sue, it sounds like you're not going to have a problem with flying to and from places. You've got kind of a plan for how you'll do that. But I mean, your work situation would seem to be different because you probably, I don't know, you may not get a chance to yak with the fans. You get to go to all these 9 stadiums, but how much interaction with fans is there going to be versus what you're used to? There's going to be changes, I would suspect, in your you know, traveling, working life.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you're going to look at, well, first of all, that interaction with the fans. Although when we get to August.
Yeah, fair.
You know, I know Bonnie Henry today said that we're now in BC in phase 2, which allows for those sports. And now you can watch from the fan. There's 50 people, I think, in gatherings. Theaters are going to open, things like that. So, but stage 3 is another major jump, and that's July.
Yeah.
And I think it's the same for you guys. So when you look across the country there, by August, you know, we may be okay to talk to fans in the bar before we go to the game, or, you know, well, I'm not drinking before the game.
Suits get, oh, but, there
no,
we
no,
go.
We'll
no,
dive into no, that. Let's not take that quote out of context.
Okay? At CFL _ news, he didn't say he gets hammered before the games.
That's, yes,
I know.
You.
That's a well, reputable account.
Buck and Aikman said that they take shots before games, so, you know.
No Buck shot, and Aikman. Man. No way. In fact, Grey Cup week, I don't even have a beer till the game is over.
Wow.
The whole week. Yeah, and I haven't. Since we have had it, I just feel like, you know, this is part of Canadian history, and I may screw it up, but I don't want to screw it up because I made that mistake during the week. Anyway, I digress. But the thought that we could interact with fans and that, but you know, I think there'll be still those protocols in place. So we may not be talking one-on-one to quarterbacks and players. Maybe that's a Zoom call during the week. Maybe there's different ways that we can get those clips that we roll into games where there's not guys, like we'd sit with coaches and sit with the players and get, you know, their different storylines for the game. So that's going to change, I'm sure. And we will all listen. We're all going to adhere to whatever the medical professionals in our country tell us to do. We will do that. But, you know, I still wear a mask in Rona or Home Depot or wherever it is, but I feel 100% better now after having shot one myself and knowing that most of the population, 70% plus, has had shot one. I think I speak for a lot of people that says it just feels better, more comfortable. I'm ready to go to a game. I'm ready to go listen to live music.
I like it. It's 5:46 on the other side of the break. We'll talk about what the CFL needs to do from here on in. They've got 52 days to prepare. What about things like, will they require masks? Will they require vaccines? Will they require you to do this? Can you be having this at the game? Let's focus on what the CFL can do from here on in to make this, as I'm trying to get the commissioner's exact word. The commissioner said it's going to be the greatest Grey Cup ever, essentially. So what can we do to make it the best Grey Cup there ever was? The CFL is back. We'll continue our chat with Glenn Suter on the other side. It's the Sports Cage on 620 CKRM.
Zinger with the sports ticker at 5:49. Do the Habs have a third straight upset in them? They open their series with the Vegas Golden Knights tonight. Habs have won 7 straight games over the higher-ranked Leafs and Jets. Game time is coming up at 7 o'clock on Sportsnet and CBC. Sports ticker for Bronco Plumbing and Heating, where professional service is guaranteed. They'll treat you right. 781-2090.
Fajardo fakes the quick look, gives it to Powell, straight up the middle, 40. Cuts back, 35, Powell's going to go to the end zone, 20, Shaq's going to lead him into the end zone, William Powell with a 42-yard touchdown from nowhere.
This is a phenomenal run, phenomenal patience, and terrible tackling on behalf of BC.
Ah, Suits, I can't wait for color analysts like Luke Mullender and yourself to say, this is terrible tackling. I can't wait for those moments again.
Well, I love the call. I got goosebumps listening to the call. Nice job. Yeah.
I was trying to think week 5 Saskatchewan at BC, and I was trying to remember if you were there or not. William Powell disappears behind Dan Clark and Dakota Shepley and then pops out and he's gone to the end zone.
I was hoping because that was
week 5.
It was very early on. They lost to Calgary at home, week 6, went on the bye week. Then BC Hamilton. I think I can't believe I remember it, Suits, because it was 575 days ago that the Riders played a football game, and now I am just jacked. As we approach this, 52 days between now and the start of the CFL season, I was trying to think of things I need from the CFL these next 52 days. And Randy Ambrosi mentioned one of them today. He was asked, why isn't the schedule out today? And he said, well, we thought this is a story that would stand on its own and we'll release the schedule tomorrow. And I thought, beautiful. What you need to do is have big stories that we will talk about on the cage every day this week and get that fire burning.
Yeah, and get the players back out in front of microphones, in front of cameras, and get their stories told as we get ready. I know I've already seen email after email from my bosses and people at TSN talking about conference calls coming up for programming leading into the season, and we'll have those discussions in the next few days. So you're going to hear a lot of those announcements. I thought that was a good move by the commissioner today to just basically be transparent and say, yeah, we figured today's news would stand on its own and tomorrow we'll give you the schedule. It's a good idea. Let this sink in for a day and let us enjoy this for a day. And then tomorrow we can get into some more nuts and bolts of it as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And Mitchell, these are just things that the league can do without spending a single nickel. And they have to harness every one of those because money is tight.
Agreed. And I agree with what you guys are saying. Today, people can go home tonight. They can talk with their buddies. CFL's back. Yeah. Tomorrow, I don't know what time the schedule will come out, but they can talk tomorrow. Schedule. Here's when the Riders are playing.
Yeah.
Bing, 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 bing. I don't know what you do Wednesday.
CFL fantasy game for 2021.
Yeah, obviously, and you talked about players. Let's get the Cody Fajardos. Let's get the Bo Levi Mitchells, the Mike Rileys. Let's get them out there re-engaging with their fan base. Something else the league has to do, and maybe if they've started it now, I don't know, get a very aggressive marketing campaign going. You know, your teams can only do so much. And here, it doesn't take a lot to market fans to get into Mosaic Stadium. But there are places where you need to get an aggressive marketing campaign going. I think if the league can do that, and I'm guessing that there's something going on, you know, Glenn, I said it earlier, I know you said it in this segment, is it August yet? Yeah, can we get something like that? The NHL, it's on, you know?
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be fancy, but just get the word out there that they're back. And the more that you see it in your face, because obviously the 9 teams will be a part of that, the better off you're going to be.
Yeah. Suits, in some of these markets, the CFL will be the first thing back.
Yeah. Yeah. And, I think there's great opportunity here. First of all, again, I go back to giving credit where credit's due. And to me, that's the frontline workers, those people that I've always wanted to back that are running towards danger as the rest of us are running away from danger. And they're the reasons we're coming back. So let's set up how we're going to honor them when we start the season. Let's see if we can get some of them in games, things like that. I think they have an opportunity there. I mean, I'm letting this sink in and enjoy it. And then I really believe that this is a real chance now, because fans in our country, as you guys have discussed, have a new perspective or a perspective of that old cliche that is, you don't know how much you miss something until it's gone. And then when it's gone, you understand it and you want it back. I think, you could talk to Jets fans, Winnipeg Jets fans, when they lost their hockey team. And when that team came back to Winnipeg when they got a team back, it's been a success ever since. So, you know, you get that feeling and there's an opportunity there. So, you know, I look at right now the G7 is going on, and I think as we go forward and we discuss it down the road and as the season goes on, you know, an off season this year with after December with a G7 of football and every single stakeholder at the highest levels from amateur, junior, college, all of it in our country coming together, not to fight for what they've, their old way of thinking, but to come together with new ideas of how we grow the game together from the CFL through all levels of amateur football. I think there's an opportunity here and to really change the narrative and the messaging. This is the greatest game on the planet. Now, I know I'm biased and I know there's a lot of hockey fans in our country, but to me, this is the greatest game on the planet. It's inclusive. It involves a 350 pounder with a 150 pounder. It is fast. It's physical. It, when done right, there is tremendous honor in the game. You know, it has a little bit of everything, a strategic element, and it's the number one gambling sport in the world too. So, yeah. You know, I think all of that is the messaging that we've got to start really rebuilding and pushing when we get through and get started again.
I hate to correct you, Glenn, but obviously cornhole is the greatest game on the planet. Obviously you're forgetting cornhole in that. All right. I want to try this, and this puts us all on the spot. Zinger, Mitchell, Glenn Suter, myself, on the count of three, just putting it out there, 52 days ahead, who's going to win the Grey Cup in 2021? Is everybody ready? Okay.
Glenn, are you still with us? I think we lost your signal, didn't we?
Yeah, no. Yeah. You don't know my – DT doesn't know my rule.
I think we're about to lose Glenn momentarily.
Suits, you won't give us a Grey Cup champion? All right, well.
I don't make predictions, man.
Oh, really?
It's been my rule. I cannot break it. It's been my rule forever. I just don't pick. Can I tell you the quick story why?
We got 45 seconds.
1 minute. Okay. Yep. So I'm on the sideline when I'm early on in the Grey Cup. I'm early on in as a broadcaster, and I'm doing the sideline for CBC. They allowed me to do both, and that was back when CBC was doing the Grey Cup games. So we're in Winnipeg. Calgary's playing, and I'm on the sideline, and I make a prediction 2 days before the game on the air. And I picked, I can't remember who I picked. I think I picked Hamilton and Calgary won. But I ended up, I had the Calgary sideline. I didn't know which team I would have until Sunday. But I had Calgary. And I had picked Hamilton, I think, to win in my prediction. Yeah. And no one for the Stampeders would talk to me. So I'm walking through the locker room and I'm saying, guys, what are you feeling like for the game? Big game, you know, like how's the nerves, all that stuff. And Hey, you're the enemy, man. You picked the other team. So because of, if I was a panel guy, not just a panel guy, if I was a panel guy and I was, you know, I'd be making predictions all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
But when I'm out there in the rooms talking to the guys, I don't want them to shut me down.
Yeah, it's not personal. It's just my analysis, and it's Bill C 218. That's all about you guys.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
Suits, thank you, my friend. I'm so delighted to be talking about this. And, man, we are going to talk some football in the next 52 days. We're going to break down teams and units and rosters, and I cannot wait to get started on that.
It's wine time, guys. Celebrate. Celebrate tonight. Today's a big day.
Love it.
For football in our country.
Glenn Suter with us every Monday and Thursday on the Sports Cage, brought to you by Quality Tire. 10 locations across Saskatchewan. QualityTire.ca. 558 News is next. The Sports Cage on 620 CKRM.
Showing six hard off the edges. Bang. Oh, Derek Moncrief forced the fumble. It's scooped up. And running, Earl Okine, is he going to go and score? Earl Okine off the fumble, touchdown Riders.
That was fantastic.
Earl Okine, that might be the only time I said his name all of 2019. Now a Toronto Argo, one of all the Riders that went to the Argos. And we can start thinking about stuff like that, Mitchell. We can start thinking about storylines for games. And I couldn't be more jacked about that. Sports Cage on a Monday for Western Lumber Timber Mart with locations in Assiniboia, Moose Jaw, Rolo, and Weyburn.
Are you going to start like a countdown somewhere, you know?
Oh, yeah.
52X. Like, we need to take you around the city now. 52, X, 51. You know, when we get to 7 and 11, we know where we can shoot those. No,
that's two stops right there.
Yes.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely.
We need to get something going. Where is DT next?
Oh, so good. I know at least 14 times I'll be in the booth alongside this man. Luke Mullender, our CFL report, brought to you by Degelman Industries and the all-new Strawmaster plus Heavy Harrow. Luke, I'm jacked.
Oh, man, let's go. what good news. What good news. I think that, you know, obviously, we just got to keep, I think society in Canada in particular, just got to keep the momentum that they've built in terms of getting vaccinated, things like that. And, man, I know that was a really sort of a breath of fresh air here today for a lot of people in Rider Nation and in the CFL in general. Even though the announcement took forever, I know people were hitting refresh. Probably they killed the battery in their phones with all the refresh hits. But man, what a great time! What a great time to be alive, boys.
Yeah. This morning, if you weren't following it on Twitter, Terry Jones, who's covered the sports in Edmonton for 100 years, tweeted, "Well, a decision won't come until late this afternoon."
What?
And then 15 minutes later, he's like, "Oh, I'm told it's coming soon." You're like, "What,
no, Terry, thanks, Terry?
You're killing us. We want to know." And then bang, there's the CFL. Bang, there's Dave Naylor. Bang, there's the Riders. We got Luke. I was saying earlier, I knew this was coming. I knew in my heart it was coming. Yet it's still such a joy that it's here.
Well, many people know I thought it was ambitious to aim for August, but man, I say from this point on, it's just, let's just start talking ball. Let's start talking Riders. Let's start talking schedules. When's the schedule supposed to come out? Tomorrow?
It'll come out tomorrow. We have some inklings of what's going to be on week one of the schedule. Bob Irving of CGOB, the voice of the Bombers for nigh on 50 years, says Hamilton-Winnipeg will be the August 5th game, the Thursday. We've got word Montreal and Edmonton play in week number one. Word that BC will be here in Saskatchewan to play the Riders on the Friday of week number one is one of the reports floating around. So some has already leaked out. But Craig Reynolds said, what were his words, Mitchell? Heavy Rider games in August here, and Labor Day will be the traditional game against the Bombers.
Luke, just the fact that they are playing on that Friday night in August 6th, you'll have to vacuum before you come to the game.
Well, listen here, boys. That's the first and last time I'm vacuuming my house. I'll tell you that much. I was exhausted after that. But, you know, I am going to have to set a morning tea time then if we're talking prime time Friday night. Man, you know what? Forget golf. I'm going to take all of day Friday poring over whatever film I can get my hands on and talking BC. And if it's BC, wow, that's going to be a very different team. You got Rick Campbell coming in here. And you know, guys, what I think about Rick Campbell, that BC team is going to be so much better. But again, we're looking at this sort of COVID environment. I can't wait till training camp now, because now we get to see, okay, how are teams looking at this 2-year layoff? Like, right. Like who are, you know, how are they going to handle, like, is stretch going to be different, right? Like there's so many things now we can actually start thinking about instead of having this gray cloud flying over us about if not, we're going to get a start date, whether or not.
Yeah. All the teams, right, will have had this massive layoff that by the time the season rolls around, it'll have been more than 600 days between games. That's massive layoff, but not everybody's going to react to it the same way, right? When you break it down into 9 teams of, you know, 50 players, who changed their body, who didn't change their body, who changed it for better or for worse, who was able to recover from injury. There are going to be so many Rider storylines in the first week of training camp that I don't know how we're going to, we won't have enough time to get them all on the air. It's going to be so good.
Yeah, it's just, where do you go from here, right? Like, who do you start looking at first? What guys do you start, I pay attention to just sort of who's coming, who's going. You know, certain guys are going to start flying into Saskatchewan now, right? Like, that's the thing. Once guys start getting into Saskatchewan, word gets out, right? And that's really traditionally when things start picking up in terms of the CFL hype. When guys get off that plane, right, they get on social media, they start, you know, they start obviously showing what they're doing when they work out. It's going to be nice to see the first few guys start, you know, broadcasting their first couple workouts at Mosaic Stadium, right? Because then it's really going to hit, right? And of course, yeah, then we're going to start the critique.
Luke, I know this has been discussed before. I don't think it's been discussed with you, though, but if you're a rookie and there's no preseason games, how do you make an impact to get on the field?
And that's a fantastic question, right, Scruff? And that's one of the things that is very different, right? So first of all, if you're doing walkthrough, here's Rookie Camp 101. If they're doing 1 week's worth of walkthrough, don't screw up a play in walkthrough, right? Like, here's the best part. You're a rookie, and you don't have to go against the vets. Just don't have the coaches barking at you about not knowing your plays. You have to know your plays. And the best part, again, is, you know, teams would have been crazy to not have sent their playbooks to the guys that they had already signed. Right, we talked about this last week, right, BT? Mm-hmm. Is taking advantage of the playbooks that you've had sitting under your couch for you know, almost a year. Like, you got to come in the camp being able to walk through any play imaginable. Anything they throw at you, any change of direction, anything that they tell you they want you to walk through, that needs to be perfect. Because at least in the coaches' minds, they can say, hey, you know what? This guy did the work. He didn't know what type of work to do, but he came in and he knows our playbook. DT, what do we talk about all the time in camp? We talk about guys who just don't know their plays.
Yeah.
So starting, that's the first thing, first point of emphasis, Scruff, first order of business. Know your plays. And they might do 3-4 days of walkthrough just to get your bodies, you know, your body set and ready to actually go at it. And if they do, don't screw up a play. That's going to put you in the position to where the coaches say, hey, because again, you're right, Scruff, it's going to be so hard. But that's why also that barring injury, some of these teams front loaded with vets like the Saskatchewan Rough Riders are going to be in a good spot, right?
And that
Dave
just
Dickinson, Craig Dickinson, excuse me, knows what he has in Ed Gainey, in Nick Marshall, right? In AC Leonard, in Cody Fajardo, in Dan Clark. The veterans that are front-loaded on this team, they already know what they can do. So there's very little guys. Like, if you look at for starting roster spots, there's very little new guys that are going to make an impact on the day one roster.
And I was just going to say that, Luke. If I'm Craig Dickinson right now and I'm sitting in my office and I'm looking at my depth chart, really, I think I know who all my 24 starters are right now.
And that's the best part, right? And now what you're doing is you're saying, okay, if we bring these young guys on, right, we have the benefit of an extended practice roster, right? So if we bring some young guys that we like on, right, now it's on us to get them ready to play. We don't know when they're going to play, but at least we don't have to lean on them week one. We can put them on special teams and see what they got, right? And that's the thing. Week one in the CFL, it's going to look sloppy, boys. Let's just call it what it is. Weeks one and two, they're going to be sloppy in the CFL. And it's not just because the players haven't played in 2 years. We're not saying that the referees were the best in the world already. The referees have had 2 years off.
Yeah.
They've been playing checkers. The referees have played. They've picked up hockey as a sport to referee. They've gone and done whatever it was they were doing away from the CFL. I'll tell you what, there are going to be some bad calls. So all those coaches right now in the Canadian Football League locker rooms, they're going to have to account for that. They're going to have to really emphasize in the locker room, hey, guys, we got to control what we can control. I'll tell you what, the referees were bad. Prepare for them to be worse.
It just dawned on me that if Al Bradbury is the referee on opening night and it's an 8 o'clock start, we may not get out of there until midnight.
Well, there'll certainly be the 2-hour weather delay. And then
don't start about that.
Forest fire delay, lightning storm canceled.
We'll get out before midnight, me and DT.
Yeah.
It'll be ballsy in his show that go on for, till 3 a.m.
God, lightning storm essentially canceled the final third of that game in Montreal. 2019 was a nightmare, Luke. Oh, my gosh.
But you had fun, didn't you?
Oh, it's great. But still,
first ever game that Luke and I are going to do together. We might not play this one because of a massive forest fire in northern Alberta. Oh, okay. Oops. It was 2019 was a ride, brother.
Yeah, I remember that. The smoke was hanging over. You had J.O. and the crew talking about playing the next day and what it meant for travel. You had me who was all mad that we might have to stay an extra day in Calgary because I had things to do. DT, you were just all amped up because it was, you know, flat out the first game of the year for us. And man, thank goodness it worked out where that I remember that. Those clouds cleared pretty quickly.
Man, yeah, they sure did. And then, yeah, week four, delay. Play three of the season. The starting quarterback gets his bell rung and never plays for the Riders again. So much happened in 2019. There are going to be incredible storylines in 2021. And we will, of course, do our best to discuss them and honestly predict and look for the ones that we'll be watching for 52 days from now when the CFL season kicks off with a rematch of the Grey Cup, according to reports. The schedule tomorrow, we'll break it down then. 6:18, we go to break and we'll continue more 2021 CFL season is here talk with Luke Mullender on the Sports Cage.
Four-man rush, Fajardo, straight drop. Oh, he's got Kyren Moore open at the 40. Kyren is gone! Two defenders collided, right at home with Kyren Moore. 98-yard touchdown, Riders!
Those two guys just clotted into each other, zinger. Ah, one of the great early highlights of that 2019 season. We get a chance to make a bunch more memories this season. Adam and Theodore says, finally, I got something to distract me from the Avalanche. Adam's a big Lanch fan, and that did not go well after the 2-0 series lead. Adam wants to know, Luke, what gets you most excited on the Riders for 2021?
Oh, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you, one of the guys who's got me excited is the guy that we just played his highlight, Kyren Moore. I'm telling you, I'm such a big fan of him. I think that he's another Brandon Banks in the waiting. If we can get the ball in his hands in a number of different ways, and if there's anybody who's going to do it, Jason Moss has proved again that he may not have been the best head coach, but he can put together an offense. So. I'm really looking forward to see Kyren take his next steps. Again, if you look at, that's the thing, we just talked about veteran rosters. If you look at the receiving core, right, you're going to have some newer guys in there or some unfamiliar names. So they're really going to, I really look at them having to rely on Shaq and Kyren more, especially early. So Kyren's a guy that I'm definitely looking forward to watching. I'm really anxious to see how that Canadian defensive player, again, I think it's going to be the field side corner, plays out.
Yes.
And other than that, shoot, I'm with it all. Just give me, take whatever it is with the Riders in the Canadian Football League, put it in a needle, all right? Give me one of the empty ones that they've been vaccinating everybody with the COVID-19 thing with. Put it in a needle, jab it in my neck, and just inject. I'm ready to roll. Yeah. Like, literally today, once they announce it, I switched from Luke Mullender, who calls into the Sports Cage, back to Luke Mullender, the color commentator for the Canadian Football League and the Saskatchewan Roughriders. I'm locked. I'm about to be locked in. I'm ready to roll. And again, Kyren, I think if there's anybody who can really make a big difference, it's going to be him this year if they find ways to get the balls in his hand.
We've talked about how the Riders on the roster have a lot of consistency from the last season to this one. When we eventually do start breaking this season down, Luke, what's going to fascinate me is that except for Hamilton and Montreal, the other seven teams all have large to total changes in their coaching staff. BC, whole new staff. Ottawa, whole new staff. Toronto, whole new staff. Riders, obviously, offensive coordinator. Bombers, new offensive coordinator. Calgary, new offensive coordinator. Edmonton has a whole new staff. There are so many changes to try to forecast how they're going to go. I'm going to love that experiment and that, you know, trying to get into to how this is all going to play out. It's going to be a ton of fun.
And that's the magic of it, right? I know I sound like a broken record, but there's so many things. There's so many things that we're about to really take at. I'm really anxious to see. And I think that here's the thing. Edmonton and BC, we have to admit that they got, like you mentioned, the coaching changes. They got better.
Yep.
They got better in the front office. And one of the things that we've talked about a number of times here in this extended 6 million year offseason is that our coaching staff here with the green and white needed to get better. So, and you know that Coach Dickinson is as studious as it comes. So he's probably really worked on the aspects of his game that he needed to get better, you know, clock management, things like that. So it's nice because we needed to get better, but we already know that Edmonton and BC did get better. Oh, and by the way, right, Winnipeg is going to come in here and they're going to be at the very least efficient at their core, and they have their coach. They don't have their OC, right, but they've still got their coach. So that West Division already on paper shaping up to be a nightmare.
Yes, Winnipeg, right? Schminnipeg.
Winnipeg got all its players
Winnipeg,
back.
Schminnipeg.
Oh, that's...
See, that's the problem, you know, Scruff. That's what we said all last, all 2019. Next thing you know, we got stupid Chris Streveler running around there topless holding up the Grey Cup, right? You got to take them seriously this year. They're the last champion. I'm not even going to call them the defending champion.
That's right.
They're the last champion. So they're going to come in. They're going to have considerable amount of momentum. And the best part about that, those fans are going to be charged up.
So Luke,
there's literally nothing to do in Winnipeg.
So, Luke, after what you just said, the Montreal Canadiens are the champions of the North Division. Are you going to give them respect when the puck drops next year?
I turned off hockey as soon as the Maple Leafs weren't on. Sorry, Scruff. I don't even know what's happening anymore. I don't care about hockey.
He's just focused on the CFL now. It's all CFL.
I'm so mad. We just, man, that was... You know what? I'm off. It's all CFL. Maple laughs, man. That hurts. Too soon, Scruff.
Never too soon, Luke.
Yeah. 52 days away. Luke, I cannot wait to be in the booth with you that opening Friday. The Riders and whoever it is, if it's the BC Lions, I'll take whoever. They can open
Here's the thing.
30 seconds.
Now it's on.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's 2 years. We let all these other, you know, everybody else had their content. You know, there was things that, like, we were all in the same pack. It's about to be 620 CKRM. We got suits. We got the fellas ready to roll. We're about to reestablish dominance here now. I'm really serious, right? So that's not a threat. This just is what it is. We're back. CFL's back. It's time for 620 CKRM to take its rightful place on the throne out here, and that's what we're about to do. I'm excited. I'm pumped up.
I can't wait
to get to work.
It's going to be great. It is going to be great. Luke Mullender with us every Monday and Friday on The Cage. And, oh, boy, 14 regular season games to come. Back in the booth. It is 6:27. Tomorrow we will talk plenty more CFL. Marshall Ferguson will be with us. Arash Madani with some of the inside scoop on how this all went down at the Board of Governors meeting. And oh, so much more. Thank you for being with us. Sports Cage on Demand. Go ahead, subscribe, rate, and review, and join us Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday for all the CFL and Riders talk you can handle right here on The Cage.